of guy.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like, you want, it's not, a burrito is when you want to know you're fat. Like, when you get carne asada fries or carne asada nachos, you want to tell everyone around you, like, hey, look, I eat, motherfucker. Yeah. And I eat that shit all the time.
The Bent Motorsports Podcast with the owner of Bent Motorsports, David Beckett, and his crew, Jacob Hunsinger, James Hernandez, and Jake Russo.
Listen in as the guys discuss all things motorsports, including tech tips and current shop projects.
So we're here now. There's a lot of projects going on. A lot of things happening. It's just the same old, you know, Bent Motorsports crew trying to keep stupid shit alive. we got diesels, we got Explorers, we got a Jeep. We have vehicles that have spent like more time, God, like on lifts,
taking up shop space,
than they have like, you know, actually driving or being.
Let's talk about our projects, just so everybody's up to date on it, since it's been since Christmas. Before, I think we did the last one was three months ago, right? Nobody listens to any of these. We have a subject that we want to talk about on this one, and it will be about the big question, right? We get a customer walks in the door, he's got a Jeep or she's got a Jeep and it's stock and they want to run 35s. I mean, that's it, right? They come in the door, I want to run 35s, what do I got to do, right? So we'll talk about the lifts now. This is a question that comes up all the time, and we actually had one of our friends in Arizona, and he listens to our podcast, Tim. If you guys want to check him out, his Instagram is RescueCon, but it's RESQCON, I believe, RES.
Oh, he's a convict?
No. I don't know, maybe. Tim, are you a convict?
Hey, man.
Either way, welcome to the club. So RESQCON. And his name is Tim. Anyways, he's from Arizona. He's the one who gave us all the advice when we went to Sedona, and we were actually supposed to wheel with him when we went out there. But
good info.
Yeah, I believe he was working, so it just didn't pan out right. And he's got another trail he wants us to go out there and wheel with him on. So one day we'll actually get out there and meet him and wheel with him. But just following him on Instagram, he's got a lot of cool stuff going on. But anyways, he gave us the same question. He said, hey, you know, everybody always wants to know what to do with their Jeep. Maybe you guys can talk about just the basics of what people need to look for. He wanted us to go into like differences between three links, four links, radius arms, that kind of stuff. So we'll kind of slam out all that information in a minute. That's so thanks, Tim, for messaging us and keeping us moving on topics and, you know, forcing us to do another podcast.
Yeah.
We do like doing them. We just
I really want to talk about that topic because there's so many things to talk about, but like
there's so many things to talk about.
Just already like in my head, I haven't even thought about this all day, but already I'm like, gotta talk about this, gotta talk about this.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Is we shy away from talking about the things that we hear every single day, right? It's for us, it's like, well, I go through this every single day with people. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is what I need to talk about. This is what a podcast is for. But before we jump into that, let's jump into everything that's in the shop. So my Jeep is finally out of the shop, and I'm actually driving it. We finished the coilover conversion on my 2006 LJ. So
how long was it on the lift this time?
Yeah, let's go into that.
Seven and a half months. Hey, I blame COVID for that.
It's all COVID's fault.
Oh, God.
So it all started with I needed to rebuild my transmission and snowballed into. Now I have 37s and coilovers.
You didn't need to rebuild the transmission. Probably would have been perfectly fine for another year.
Oh, maybe, but I believe in preventative maintenance.
No, but in your defense, like if you would have gone on the Rubicon again with that transmission,
yeah, he would have got Kenned.
Yeah, it would have. You would have got Kenned. You would have got Johnson.
Sure. Yeah. So. I'm actually glad I did it. I'm not bummed that I rebuilt the transmission.
No, it's got a sick shift kit too.
Yeah, dude, twin sticks.
Oh, the shift kit. Yeah. Oh. Well, what they did was I was talking to them over there at Transmasters, and essentially all they're doing in there is they're just bringing up the pressures a little bit everywhere, so makes it hold the gear a little longer, apparently.
Twisting,
I don't know,
twisting and turning things,
yeah,
a little bit,
two little
like
knobs right in front of you,
with your thumb and your pointer finger,
yeah,
together,
just twisting those knobs. So I don't know what they did. That's the transmission guru guys, so we just let them deal with that. But mine's driving around again. I'm driving around, I'm breaking in the gears, And hopefully in another month or so, we'll get up to John Bull and do a shakedown run and see how it works.
Because we went through a whole slew of things. It wasn't just transmission rebuild. It was...
No, so transmission rebuild. I added a Ruby crawler. I replaced every gasket on the engine, new O2 sensors, new catalytic converters. We re-geared it 488, put 37s on it, converted it all to coilovers.
Wheel spacers.
Yeah, because I wasn't... Dude, so I really like my wheels, and they're OMFs, and they're really bitching, and I just, after spending all this money on all these upgrades, I wasn't willing to also buy brand new wheels, so
yeah.
I put wheel spacers on it. F it, man. Come down and argue with me about it one day.
Yeah.
If you guys hate them, then just come down and tell me how much you hate them.
I hate them.
I know you hate them. But
it's funny because all three of our vehicles have them on right now.
Oh, God, I know. Fuck.
So I guess the other vehicle, well, Jake, your engine blew up. We talked about that last
time, I think,
right?
We talked about that.
So you got that running again.
Uh-huh.
But now you've got a diesel truck.
Yeah, it's in the process of coming to being on the road here. But basically, like, I'm kind of halfway through the whole process right now. I'm still waiting on the title for my Jeep and all the intricate parts of doing a trade with somebody. So as of right now, I have the truck in my possession. The guy was nice enough to let me have it, and he gave me the title to it and basically said, here you go. That way I can get it running by the time I get the title and give him the Jeep. So I started diving into it, and it's been more than I expected, you know?
Which is exactly what you should expect.
Which is exactly what I should have expected. You know, you dive into something and there's oil leaks. There's, when I say oil leaks, these have been oil leaks for probably months and years now. So there's like this 1-inch thick film of, like, I don't even know what it is, just oily garbage, like, on all the skid plates and everything. Like, yeah, just real thick stuff. So the last, like, what, week and a half or so, I've just been pressure washing everything I possibly can, getting everything cleaned up. I have the transmission out of it right now. It's getting a new clutch. It's getting a new transmission. and then changing all the gaskets that are leaking. There's hoses that are leaking. Oil changes. Diff gear fluid is going to be all changed out. So I'm hoping it's like fresh when it's ready to go.
But basically, he's giving it a little birthday.
He's getting a birthday. Getting a big birthday. So... And it's cleaned up. Like, I fixed the seat. The seat was broken, you know? Like, there's, like, a little metal frame under there that just broke. And so I took it all out, welded that back together, which was kind of tricky because it was all TIG welding and, like, really small, thin sheet metal. So you really got to, like, jam a bunch of filler in there. But it worked out okay. So it's just doing all the nitpick stuff that I know I'm not going to do later. Maybe the seat I would, because I would be driving it every day, but
yeah, dude, you would hate that.
Yeah, it was sitting on a cinder block too, you know, like one side of it was broken off, and so they had it held on, or like kept it from falling down by putting a cinder block under it.
David's truck, like, was the same way.
Yeah, it was, right?
Yep.
And then we put smart car seats in it.
Yep. Yeah,
so
custom frame.
Yeah,
when that seat broke, I remember I was driving to the desert when that seat broke.
That
had my
sucks.
Trailer hooked up, and all of a sudden my seat breaks and I just go flipping straight back into the back seat. I'm like, holy Jesus.
You were even in the narrows?
No, luckily I was in that flat area just before you'd make the left to go down Ranchita.
Oh, okay.
That nice wide open area.
That's nice.
A nightmare.
But, yeah, so we'll see. I'm hoping to get the title here soon so I can finish the deal, and we're moving on. So I know Jake has some stuff he needs to... About it.
Yeah, but I don't think you really explained, like, what is your goal here? Like, what spurred you? You kind of just,
you know,
went right on past the subject of why you took a Jeep that worked fine, was John Bull, was basically Rubicon capable, you know, other than the front axle that needed a little bit of, you know, loving. But
super close.
But what
Rubicon
spurred
ready.
The going from, you know, 100-inch wheelbase or whatever it is to like 144,
yeah, it's big.
And what's your goal here? Well, you got to make a promise to the people right now of like, what are you gonna do with this?
This is my swear in to the club.
Yeah, well, like, are you gonna actually chop this thing, or are you gonna lowrider it and be a hound?
I saw one last night on Facebook Marketplace that was all slammed. It was a extended cab. Long bed, and it was like, the thing looks like a land yacht because
but look at the sign behind me. What does it say right here?
Off road.
So you got to make this thing a race car and put it on a asphalt track.
Off
road. That's what he's saying. That's
not
on the road.
For sure. Big wing on the back.
Dirt track.
Mm-hmm. Dirt track.
Ooh. Figure eight.
So as of right now, obviously the truck is so long. It's an extended cab, long bed, which is the second longest version of that truck that you can get besides a crew cab long bed, obviously. So the plan for it is that I'm going to drive it as it is, save up some money, and then that's when it's going to get solid axle swapped. So I'm going to have an extended cab long bed solid axle 96 Chevy truck.
And then you're going to put 10 inches of lift on it so that you can wheel it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right.
Not. So at that point, it'd probably get coilovers. It'd probably get some sort of radius arm or like 3-link or 4-link.
We'll discuss that later, everybody.
Yeah, we'll
what
get
you
into that later.
Use.
And then the rear, obviously it being a long bed, it is a fucking, it's a boat. So like the plan would be bed. Some sort of like utility bed. I don't want to say camping setup, but like some sort of cool utility bed that I could throw some like jet skis on, take them down to the water. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking like long-term stuff. It'd be cool to like go out to the lake, throw a couple jet skis on the back of this thing and launch them right at the beach. And like, it's got all the utility. It's got strap boxes and like toolboxes built into it and air compressors and just like the all around like Swiss Army knife truck. But it's also shorter. Like I want the wheels to be like right behind the cab of this extended cab and cut like potentially 20 or 15 inches off the wheelbase of this thing.
So if you do that, if you put the wheels are just right behind the cab, this flatbed is going to be like 2 feet by 5 feet.
Yeah,
you can carry
for sure.
A jet ski.
He's
like
gonna sleep on it. He's gonna sleep on it sideways.
You're gonna put a little boom arm on it, so you can just boom the jet ski down into the water.
So it has it has provisions for a PTO, so I could hook it all up PTO style
now
hydraulic.
We're
right?
Nice.
Now this is the real deal. Now
that'd be sick. I love going to the hydraulic shop and making hoses. So
yeah, but which hydraulic shop would you go to?
Probably Parker.
Oh, liar!
A fine choice.
You're a dirty girl for Crown, and you know it.
Yeah, I am. So anyway, that's the idea. I don't know, some sort of like half cage in the back, maybe like what would be like an off, like a pre-runner bed cage, but still be able to have it utility like room. And
that'd
I don't
be
know.
Cool.
Short course links, just good, stupid, stupid.
I love it.
It's got a 14 bolt, so you're like pretty much halfway there.
Exactly.
You know?
You don't even need a truss.
You don't even need a truss.
Ian will say otherwise. Well, like, actually. We know you're smart, Ian.
We love you, Ian. You're just too smart for us. All right, so, Jake, what about your solid axle swap Explorer that's still on the lift in the shop?
2 more weeks.
He said it was going to be done on Friday, right? But then what
No, next Friday.
I didn't listen to him. The original sentence was it will be done on a Friday.
Exactly.
So it's shame on me.
But no, next Friday is supposed to be the day because I got to drive up to Big Bear. So
yeah, you're good at that. You love doing that with your projects, right? Like
always,
I'm gonna do a massive, massive change on a vehicle, and then the day it's done, the shakedown run is literally driving it to where you're gonna off road it
in Big Bear.
In Big Bear,
we've all done it.
Why would you not though? I mean, what's the ultimate shakedown run?
Are you gonna do John Bowl?
It's within 200 miles, so my AAA covers it. So, shame on you.
You imagine having to get out of, like, if you were to do a trail with it, like, winch yourself, like, 200 feet at a time, like, through a trail.
That would suck ass.
Just to get to the road to get towed.
That would be a bummer. But, yeah, I mean, I'm maybe, like, 70% through this project, I'd say. Would you say that's a fair estimate?
Yeah, I would say so.
Maybe, like, 66%. Like, two-thirds of the way done.
66 is specific.
It's very – well, no, it's not. It's just two-thirds, man. I've got a bunch of, I just need a bunch of reinforcing to be done. And then basically like that's my hurdles. Then it's just plumbing.
So now this will help transition us into what we're really supposed to be talking about, which is what lift you pick, right? So this is a good question for you, because you, when you decided to solid axle swap the front end of your Explorer, you needed to decide what you were going to do. You went with radius arms. Other than the fact that we had a pair of radius arms that were available, what are the things that you were having to consider when deciding whether you were going to 4-link or do a radius arm?
I mean, most of it was packaging concerns. This wasn't it wasn't originally set up to have links underneath it, right? So the frame widths might be different from a Jeep JK, and I'm using a JK Dana 44 basically with no brackets on it. And I just wanted to start fresh from there, but there's so many things that are different or you can't fit, you know. You might not be able to fit 4 links underneath it because the exhaust or the drive shaft or, you know, the oil pan. There's so many considerations you have to make. So radius arms were a way for me to get the links underneath the frame rails and allow more space for my exhaust, which already was kind of a cluster. So that was biggest concern for me was packaging. I wish I could have run a 3-link or a 4-link because I'd like to be able to dial in like the different suspension characteristics and radius arms. You kind of are like the easy, like, yeah, they're very functional, but they're just the easy way out, right? They're like the leaf springs of nowadays. There's one connection point on the frame and then a panner bar and you're basically good to go. But I would have rather have done the rest of it and done an actual 4-link or a 3-link or something where I could adjust the dive and anti-dive and all the characteristics. But that's shit that nobody cares about, man.
Well,
you're
and
never going to touch
it. It's stuff that, like we see on the Ultra 4 buggy that's in the shop, right? If you start off with your own frame where you're building something from scratch, you can have double triangulated front and rear 4-links and have not have to run track bars, right? It's all double triangulated. You get massive travel, and it's the perfect setup. So to be able to get that perfect setup onto, say, a Jeep JK that's from the factory where you're, you know, the companies that are making lift kits, I mean, they're not in the business of making chassis. They're in the business of making lift kits, right? So they've got to make a lift kit that you can essentially bolt on or do a little bit of, you know, cutting and welding to weld it on. Luckily, Jeeps already come with a 4-link in the front. So, you know, usually they're just adding on to that. But these are just things that, you know, when people are out, when they come in our front door and ask us, you know, what do I do? For the most part, we're looking at whatever's available on the market, right? Because I would say 99% of the people that come through our door don't want to spend the money to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And even though you're willing to do this work on your vehicle, you still had to concede and do radius arms.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically.
So so essentially, when people come through the door, they want to run 35s, and they want to know what lift they need. And it's different if you got a TJ, a JK, a JL. It's all different, right? And we've put on a lot of different kits. And I don't know, there's some number, right? If you've got a TJ, you need 4 inches of lift or 4.5 or whatever to put 35s on. If you got a JK, you need like 2.5 inches or something. And if you got a JL, you need 1 inch or something dumb, right, to get a 35 on. But that's not really the whole story, right? The things that nobody thinks about or that always ends up being done later is things like drive lines, right? Those stock CV type goofy weird drive shafts, I forget what they call them on the JKs. We were talking to our driveline expert just a day ago, I think, and he was saying you lift it 1 inch or something and it changes that thing.
Yeah, because everything's out of whack. Like you're going to burn through that drive shaft in a couple thousand miles, basically.
Yeah, so it's why we've seen it, right? We've seen those drive shafts fail over and over again.
One.
Yeah, somebody comes in and they've got a little 1.5 inch or 1 inch donut, Daystar donut lift, and their drive shafts are blown out, right? And as soon as you go up to a 35, your ball joints are now blown out, right? So like every single vehicle that comes in here, those Jeeps, you know, those are the things that we're constantly addressing and changing. But my opinion, people in general, you know, there's very few people out there who are going to come in and throw down a big check and want to do everything all at once. Most people are going to let their Jeep evolve over time, right? That's the right way to do it.
Which is nothing wrong with that, really.
No.
You know?
And it's the way that most people do it. It's the way we all kind of do it, right? We build it over time. And sometimes you can build it where you're just getting into Jeeping, so it's a moderate build, and then you get more into Jeeping, and maybe the Jeep's maybe closer to being paid off, so you're willing to make a little more risk. So you build a little bigger, and then it's finally paid off, and then you go big, and you're not afraid to dent it anymore. Right, there's this whole,
like you are committed to it.
Yeah, right. There's a whole evolution of thought that happens as you own the Jeep and go through these stages. So the question is wherever you're going, whatever shop you're going to, or if you're doing it yourself, think it all the way through to the end. Right? We've had so many Jeeps where people have found, you know, Craigslist deals on takeoff arms and springs and all these things, and they end up spending a lot more money in the long run, I think, because they'll come in here and they're just tired of it. They're finally over it. They want things fixed. and we find, you know, 14 different manufacturers' parts on the bottom of this Jeep. And, you know, say, you know, this manufacturer over here is not necessarily making sure that their product's going to work well with this manufacturer over here, right? So it does pay to kind of think your project all the way through from beginning to end of where you think you would want it to be one day, within reason, obviously, right? And try to stick with a brand, you know, for the most part. Pick a brand and stick with it and use theirs and ask those brands, you know, hey, if I buy your long arm kit now on 35s, or if I buy your short arm kit now, how much is it to do a long arm kit later?
Yeah.
What, you know, what parts transfer over? Is it the same track bar on all your kits? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same track bar. Oh, the spring is just an inch different, so I'll have to buy springs. Or is it just a shock relocation, or is it an actual longer shock? But those are questions to ask the manufacturers, is how many other parts transfer over from the mild to wild kits,
yeah,
right? So you know you're going to save money because you're not going to be buying those parts twice, yeah, right? Some parts you will, but some parts you won't. But so talking about kits, like what are some things that you guys can think of that maybe you see a lot in the shop where you would want to warn somebody to steer away from a specific type of kit that you saw or a specific design that you saw? I know Metal Cloak has their trick little radius arm that has the disconnect.
The flex thing.
Like things like that did you guys see? Like, do you like the Terraflex Falcons? The ones that have the weird 90-degree deal off the back? Or I mean, because when you look at the back of those, they hang off the back of the Jeep. When you put them on the rear, they're at the bottom.
Yeah.
And you've got to buy these massive skid plates for them. You know, what are your thoughts on that? You guys have anything that jumps out in your mind that is just something that you look at every time and go, ugh, I don't like that? Other than that, when a JK rolls into the shop.
I don't know, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, when the Mopar kits were a bigger thing, I guess. And they're just pricey, I think, is why we don't see them more. But like Brian's kit was super easy to install. It was nice. It was very thought out.
And I believe those Mopar kits were made by Terraflex for Mopar.
Yeah, I think you're right. And they were nice. They were good kits. Now I feel like there's just so many. Like every year there's like another 10 brands that we have to deal with. And so many of them, you're just like, well, what's different about yours? You know, slight geometry change. If that, like there's only so much you can do with the stock location, yeah, you know, mounts. And so, like, Metal Cloak and stuff relocates them outside the frame or whatever they do. They have all their different brackets and shit. And that's cool. A lot of it works. I don't know. I haven't had enough experience. I've seen a couple guys now with that radius arm kit from Metal Cloak that has that disconnect on it. Maybe it does work. I don't know. Me, personally, I'm so lazy. Like, I feel like the people who buy those compression adjusters on their shocks, like, they don't touch those. So why are they going to go down and, you know,
yeah,
put a wrench on a radius arm and adjust that? I think people are just lazy and they just want it to work. So they kind of.
Yeah, it's a different story if you got like a disconnect sway bar, right? Where you could just go out there and go clock and the thing disconnects and you're good, right? Like,
Terraflex one's so nice.
Like, that's one thing.
I do like that. I have that.
But if you got to go under there and like give that thing like 12 different turns just to get it to finally disengage, like, I don't know. I'm not.
It might be easier than that. I don't know.
But,
you know, what? Like, right now, right? I've just changed mine to coilovers, right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed a tremendous difference in the way my vehicle drives on the street. So at some point, you're going to get to an area where your vehicle doesn't drive down the street like it used to, right?
Yeah.
So I think what Metal Cloak is trying to do there is they're trying to say, look, you can run 37s and you can have a radius arm and it's going to be firm going down the street and you're going to have the control and it's going to feel nice driving down the highway. But when you get off road, if you're willing to take the time to loosen this bad boy up over here, now you're going to get that crazy, cool articulation and flex you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I guess that's Metal Cloak's answer to the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah.
That's the other question, right? Somebody comes in and the first question we ask them is, what are you really going to do with your Jeep, right? Because we have different answers for people who, you know, like Brian, who like to go fast. They want to rock crawl, but then between rock crawling, they want to haul ass.
Like shit? I mean, you want to haul ass?
Yeah, they want to drive like
shit. I'm just playing, Brian.
They want to go really fast. So he has a specific thing that he wants versus another guy like me who drives like an old man all the time. Yeah, I just drive slow forever, so I don't really need to go fast ever, so I'm going to build mine a little different as well. There's just a lot of choices out there, and I think when the conversation happens with the customer, that answers a lot of our questions, where we're going to go, right?
Yeah.
It answers a lot of questions.
With budget in mind, too, right? Because if you go, yeah, I want to go fast through the desert, well, are you going to be willing to spend 10, 15 grand, right? Like, I'm sure you can do it for cheaper. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sure there's a cheaper option. But, like, if you really want to do it the right way and you want coilovers.
If you want longevity in your vehicle.
Yes, exactly. Like, if you want to do it and you want to do it right, yeah, 10, 15, even 20 grand to make that thing go haul ass through the desert. But there's the other side of people that go, no, I just want it to be like a little bit more lifted. I just want that little bit of 35. Like, I just want the 35s. Like, bare minimum. You just want to squeak by and be able to run it. I think that's where a good kit, like, I'm a big fan of the TerraFlex kits. I don't know why. I just feel like the ease of install is there. All the parts are quality. Like, I've never had an issue with their kit. And they sell one where it's just their fixed length arms are non-adjustable.
Mm-hmm.
But you put in their springs, their shocks, their arms. It's all, like, real good quality. You know, like, you just feel the quality. The powder coating is nice. It's not this, like, cheap-looking powder coating. They have, like, these nice little brackets that they come with. All the, like, the brake lines and the ABS lines get their own little designated bracket that hangs off the shock tab. Like, those little things where you can go bust out that job in a few hours. Like, for us, at least, somebody in their driveway may take a little bit longer. But it's a total kit I would do in my driveway. You know, even if I had minimal tools, like, it's just, it's easy. But you start getting these people that go, oh, well, that kit's, you know, $1,300, $1,400, $1,500. There's a reason why it's that much. It's quality parts.
Yeah.
You go on Amazon and you go, I need JK arms or JK lift, and you get this Joe Schmo company from Taiwan or China, and all of a sudden all that stuff that you just spent hours of your day putting on, well, guess what? Next year you're changing it all out because it's all blown out.
Yeah, you know? Well, we've had that too here, right? Where we allow customers to bring in their own products. Not a lot of shops do that, but if you have a lift kit that you've purchased and you want us to put it on for you, we'll do it. There are some, obviously there's no, you know, if the kit doesn't work right, it's on you, not on me. But we have had some people come in with like some Rough Country stuff, right? Rough Country, Tough Country. what are the other brands? There's a few other brands.
Rough Country, Tough Country. I don't even know. There's a couple more.
But we go to Rough Stuff. Yeah, whatever it is. Right?
Rough Stuff makes
Rough Stuff
good
is
stuff.
Good. Oh yeah, no, they actually make good stuff. But I think it's tough. Rough Country is the worst one, but those come in and they, the parts just don't
Skyjacker.
Fit.
Skyjacker. That's the other one.
Oh, Skyjacker back in the day used to be good, but, back when you were lifting Toyotas and putting 42 shocks on
the
back
there.
But anyways, you know, you get what you pay for essentially, right? You pay more for a good kit. You're going to get a good kit that actually has some geometry and some engineering in it.
Yeah.
The other stuff is just, it just doesn't work. And you end up paying more in the end because now you got to pay me to take it off and put a real one on. But the good thing is we'll tell you that when you get here with your bag of parts and we see it's Rough Country stuff, we're going to tell you and you can make a decision at that time.
But at the same time, I remember a guy with the donut lift in a, you know,
Daystar donut?
An LJ, and he did just fine out there for a long time.
Yeah, but that didn't mean that I bolted those parts on real easy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I what did I have, 31s or something, and I put little Daystar donuts on my springs, mm-hmm. and then relocated my shocks a little
you
bit.
You do everything in Octia Wells.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you definitely can wheel on a budget. There's no question. That can be a whole nother podcast. But when you're trying to decide what you want to do with your Jeep right now, you just got to ask yourself the question, is this stage one, stage two, stage three, stage
true.
Four? Like, where am I at? Where am I going to go with it? Am I just going to build this a little bit and then my, you know, do I have a vehicle that's maybe a Sahara or a Sport or something that isn't really worth putting the big money into? Maybe I just lift it a little bit, go do some wheeling with my friends and get my feet wet and then flip it and get a Rubicon.
Yeah.
Right?
With the resale market on these things, there's such a big market for them. Like,
yeah.
You're not, I don't think you're wasting your time. Like, if you have a bone stock Sahara, and you want to put a lift on it, one, because you think it looks good, which I think everybody thinks the same way, right? You want to put 35s on it, you put a 2.5-inch lift. It's a pretty cheap, you know, alternative to going full-blown. But at the end of the day, you go, you know what? I had my fun with this. Let's move on to the next one. Let's sell this off. You probably get a good amount of what you have into it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I know anybody that has negative equity into a Jeep, as in, like,
I might.
you're far, far, far negative. But as far as a situation like that, right, you have a Sahara, it's got a decent little lift on it, 35s. Like, if you go buy, you know, I don't even know what would be comparable, a Nissan Altima or something like that, you're going to have negative equity from the day you leave the lot to the day you finally sell it. Yeah. You know what I mean? With the Jeep market, I don't think it's the same way. Same with Toyotas. Like, Toyotas are super hot right now. You can go buy one that's 20,000 miles on it. It's only $4,000 less than what you would have buy one new from the dealership with, you know?
Yeah, the resale is for sure there.
So
it just means put quality parts on them.
Yeah, because the second you take it back to the dealership and they go, I don't know what these arms are. I don't know what this is. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, this thing drives like shit because it probably does.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where it makes a difference. You put a good quality lift on there. All of a sudden the thing has good driving manners. It, like, you could drive it every day without having an issue. It's like driving a stock Jeep, you know, and we get it all the time where they have like these hodgepodge lifts on it. And you're like, dude, this thing drives terrible.
Yeah.
Every bit of it just drives terrible. And we always say it about the JKs. And don't get me wrong, there's some TJs that drive terrible too. But, like, I don't know, for some reason the JKs drive just extra terrible. Like, I don't know.
I get it. I know.
Yeah, I think that if when you're looking for what you want, a good basic setup is, yes, 35. That's a standard tire size, right? It's a pretty standard size that you should shoot for. You should definitely not stress out too much about whether it's a long arm or a mid arm or a short arm. A short arm, regular short arm JK on 35s with a 2.5 or 3 inch lift will go just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially if it's the Rubicon and you got the 4-to-1 transfer case
lockers.
And you've got lockers. It's pretty much going to go anywhere. I mean, Brian did the Rubicon in his 2-door JK with short arms and 35s. No problem.
It was just a Mopar lift, wasn't it?
It was a Mopar lift. No problem. Went right through the Rubicon. So, obviously, they're super capable. So, you don't have to spend a ton of money, and you don't have to go super crazy to get where you want to go. It like, with mine, with the coilovers and the long arms and the radius arm conversion in the front and all that stuff, is just because I want to go through that same obstacle whilst holding a beverage. Right? That's pretty much the only difference, right?
Yeah,
we're both
going
to get through
much.
The obstacle. I'm just going to not try as hard.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you build your vehicle so far that now it's boring, right? I mean, look at Ian when we went to John Bull. His vehicle drove through that like it was Interstate 5.
Yeah, seriously.
It was nothing for him, right? So he's got to go places that are absolutely off the charts difficult to even get a challenge, right?
Yeah,
like King of the Hammers stuff. Like, you have to do the King of the Hammers course to go, yeah, that was some shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we made it through that.
So there's something to be said for leaving your vehicle at least moderately built so that you can go places that are easy to get to and you can still have the same amount of fun, right? So, I just think you need to reflect on what you really are out to do when you're going to do a build on your Jeep. And obviously, this gets into regearing, too. I mean, if you've got a Rubicon and you got a 4, you know, 410 or 411, whatever it comes in those Rubicons, 410 or whatever.
Yeah.
Then you're fine, right? You're good to go. If you've got the 373 version, or even the worst, what was the Saharas are 272s or so, 271 or something?
291.
That's so crazy.
Something dumb.
It's like freeway flyer miles.
Yeah, definitely want to get a regear, right? Because you know, even with a 373, you should
or a supercharger.
It. Yeah, or yeah.
Yeah, that's an option.
Yeah.
You know, because those things are going to, it's going to be a little bit of a dog. We did find, too, that another upgrade that you want to look into is a big brake kit on a JK when you get up to a 35-inch tire. They really, really, really don't like 35-inch tires. I don't know if maybe it's the 35-inch tire or it's just the wheels that our customer, you know, when you get a real beadlock, they're a little heavier. It's that heavy wheel and tire package together that really causes that. But
like,
Black Magic makes a really good brake kit for them.
Yeah. What is a combo weigh? Like, a wheel and tire beadlock with a 35 on it. It's got to be.
Well, I'll tell you, because I just put those JK. I just got the rotors turned for the Explorer, which has a JK Dana 44. And I got the EBC, like, green goo special organic brake pads that are supposed to be good for 4x4s or something like that. So. I don't know. We'll see
how they work.
We'll see how they work, you know?
Yeah. But dude,
see if I can get away with not doing a big brake kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's the other thing I did on mine was the big brake kit from Black
right.
Magic.
But you throw another additional 50 pounds of rotating mass on each corner.
Hell yeah.
Like things aren't moving as fast as you want them to move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What else do we we drive shafts are always a problem.
The panhard bar bracket or track bar bracket
yeah.
or whatever, on the axle side, I tend to notice that the OEM ones get ovaled out. So a lot of the people that have the brackets to relocate them don't have the issue, but on the ones that are stock, at least maybe that was more of a TJ problem.
I think it's
either way they
JK
get
problem
smoked.
Too. The JK ones are pretty flimsy.
Are they just small bolts too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the
M10.
No, it's bigger than that. M12? I think it's like an M12 or M14.
Bullshit.
But it's just a tiny, like, it's just flimsy. And
yeah.
So realistically, it's probably, I'd say from previous jobs, it's probably a couple hours worth to have us cut off a track bar bracket, and weld on a brand new one, and it's probably
yeah.
worthwhile, you know? You go buy them from Artec for, I don't know, they're not even that expensive, maybe 80, 90 bucks.
Well, even some of the relocating ones that bolt on, they're not too bad. They at
no,
least get more support points than just that one hole and
yeah.
eliminate that problem, which is nice. Or you can weld a washer on there if you really like that position. But
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, JK's really love to smash the stock steering stabilizers.
That
oh,
for sure
they smoke those. They smoke
yep.
the rear mufflers too.
And tie
oh, yeah.
and front tie rods.
Yeah, tie rods get
tie
yeah
rods
they
get
wasted.
They get
oh yeah,
there's
just put one
seconds.
In the rafter.
Yeah, so things to think about: heavy duty front tie rod. Either be okay with your muffler getting smashed or get a skid for it.
Yeah.
Also the fuel tank skid on the JKs does a good job.
They hold up,
but it smashes up and you lose capacity of fuel capacity by like a half a gallon or something, right? Because
the Rubicon one's nice, isn't it? Or it's still
I think
it's
still, I think it's the
unless
same.
You're Brian, then you smash the living shit out
dude,
of it.
Dude, it's got to be better than mine.
Yeah, I've seen a couple
it's
that come in
yours.
Here where you just sit there and you go, dude, it might be time to upgrade. You know, like it's so far past where you should be.
Definitely when you get adjustable track bars. If whatever kit you're looking at doesn't come with adjustable track bars.
Oh, yeah.
If it comes with a relocation, like a geometry correction bracket, that's fine. But also buy an adjustable track bar front and rear. It's the biggest problem, man, with those axles. You lift it up and the axles both shift and your Jeep drives like shit. So
yeah, it's all crab walking down the freeway.
And more than likely, like I said, your ball joints are probably smoked. If you go out to your JK tomorrow and check your ball joints, they're smoked.
What's the lowest amount of miles we've seen on a JK that has smoked ball joints?
1 mile.
From the factory.
I'll tell you. Once we get this thing dry, we'll do one voyage on that front end.
Here's the deal. If you upgrade to 35 inch tires and go wheeling one time, your factory ball joints are no longer good.
Yeah,
it's true. Just that's the
you
fact.
You go blast down a dirt road for
your dirt
10 minutes, they're smoked. Like I think the lowest I've seen, which I'm sure there's even lower than this, but like it was probably 40,000 miles.
Oh yeah, dude.
And they were smoked.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
kills them.
Oh, yeah. Off-roading is aggressive. And then when you put a bigger tire on, you're putting a lot more pressure on them, and that's what gives out.
Yeah.
But TerraFlex makes a really nice chromoly one that has an adjustment on it so that as
you
they
know
wear,
what?
You
I
can
actually
tighten
found
them up.
Yesterday or today was Curry makes ends that are rebuildable. So it's a forged end, right? But it just has a hole where the ball joint or the actual tie rod, like, you know, ball sits. There's
mm-hmm.
just a hole there. And it's a threaded cartridge, and they have these rebuildable ends that go into it. So it's all fancy
rad.
And forged and super strong and rebuildable. So.
And this is a tie rod, not the ball joint, right?
This is the tie rod end. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. So I did venture away from ball joints.
Yeah,
but
no. I'm just making sure
but that's still
on the
cool.
same page.
That's the cool product.
Yeah. So the TerraFlex ball joints, like actually on the axle, those ones have – so the upper ball joint, all it does is telescope. It goes up or down. Right, there's no other movement with that thing. It shouldn't go side to side.
Well,
it rotates.
Wobble.
It rotates. So
that's
it is. So the lower one has like three set screws, and then you loosen those, and it has like a adjustable nut on the bottom of it that you could actually like preload it more. And that way, when it does go out of slop, you just undo those set screws, tighten it up a little bit, tighten them back down, and now they're good as new. You don't have to press anything out. You don't have to take your knuckles off. You don't have to do anything.
So right. What I want to know now is we have one Rubicon trip on those.
Yeah, so how many cycles can we get before they become junk?
Yes, and now especially with 37s, is 37s going to become an issue? I know there are a couple other companies out there that make a real nice, you know, $400 or $500, you know, billet fucking ball joint that you can buy next, but I'm just curious, you know.
But for the everyday purchaser, we need to, we'll get some good real world intel.
We need everything from like the O'Reilly special, which is probably, I don't know, I'd say you're looking at $100 for ball joints, right?
Well, yeah, that's the dumb thing, right? I look up ball joints at O'Reilly, you know, for a customer because they don't want to spend the money on the TerraFlex ones. And then I look at it and I go, look, man, the TerraFlex ones are just the same price.
Yeah. Unless you go to Rock Auto. No, unless you go to Rock Auto.
Well, unless you go to Rock Auto,
dirt cheap.
But you can still get, like, you know, Moog, which is probably the best of the, aftermarket brands that aren't, like, upgraded.
Yeah.
I'd say it's definitely Moog. And even those, you can get them for a good price, but I think they're $40-$50 a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you want to, $40 or $50 a piece, right? So
yeah, and how much?
Side,
yeah.
It's $200.
Versus the 400?
300. I think it's $300 for the TerraFlex ones. I think it's $290.
Okay.
Without tax, obviously. But the funny part is like you go to install them, it's a time intensive job, right?
Yeah, if
like,
you don't have the tools, it sucks ass.
Yeah,
if anybody out there has ever done a ball joint, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so you go get the cheap ones because you want to save $100 maybe. And then, well, guess what? You just spent $400 or $500 to have them installed. And now in another year, you're going to have to do that all over again.
Yeah.
Or depending on how much you wheel, it could be 6 months.
It could be 6 months.
Or you're going to waste some tires, too.
Yeah. Tires are not cheap. Tires get wasted.
And I feel like that's one of the telltale signs of, like, bad parts on a lift is, like, immediately you'll see the front tires start cupping.
Yeah.
You know, like, that should be your first, indication. Like, one, you obviously feel that it's kind of sloppy steering, you know, and, like, it doesn't drive the same. And a lot of people just say, no, it's just Jeep. It's just how it drives. No, it's not. Like, you can literally... I was going down the freeway the other day, and I was obviously bored because I was doing this, but I was going like 80, 85 miles an hour, and I was on like a dead straight part going through Camp Pendleton, and I'd take my hands off the wheel, and I'd see how long it would be until I was in like, not in the next lane, but like starting to go into the next lane, and I counted all the way up to like 10 seconds, and I'm going like 80, 85 miles an hour doing this, you know? It's like, for that thing to stay in a lane for 10 whole seconds, like that's pretty good, you know? And like, I think I've done a good job at keeping the thing well maintained, and it's like I don't see why any other Jeep could do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we drove my Jeep to Oceanside a couple days ago, and Jake was with me, and I was telling him, "Look, I'm going down the freeway, and I'm holding the steering wheel with my thumb and my pointer finger at the bottom of the wheel, just holding it, and I've got no rear sway bar, I've got no steering stabilizer, and I've got 37s, and I got coilovers on all four corners."
Karen's out there. That's dangerous.
And it was just driving straight down the road. Because everything is on point, right? Keep all your parts on point and set it up correctly and it's gonna be fine. So you can drive down the street. Now let's jump into this next thing that I'm gonna forget if I don't say it, is that when you lift it, that front pinion angle on the JKs
is terrible.
Is horrendous.
Oh, it's terrible.
And you lose all your caster.
Yeah.
So it's a big problem with lifting those JKs high is you're going to lose those things.
Which is funny because those are high pinion from the factory, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys with TJs in the front are low pinion, which is why people get XJ Dana 30s and put them in, well, obviously regular TJs, not Rubicons. But there's a reason why people with TJs go to XJ axles because they're high pinion. It's easier to get a good angle. You're not as low. It gets the drive shaft out of the rocks and stuff. But for some reason with the JKs, what they call the, I'm probably going to be wrong with this, but it's like the overlap angle or the offset angle of your caster opposed to your actual like pinion angle.
Right.
And I don't know what it is. It's just not a big enough angle, you know? And so no matter what, every time you lift these things, you're always fighting. Well, I want to give it a little more pinion angle to make the drive line nice, but you can't do that because then you lose caster and the thing drives terrible.
It's like 4 degrees, right? Like if you could do like a 4 degree cut and turn, that's what you'd need.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's the answer, right? The answer is to do a cut and turn and correct the problem.
You just got to grind for 6 hours at home and cry a little bit and get
bigger. We'll do it
C's.
For you.
Yeah.
We'll do it for you. We'll cry for you.
We love grinding.
I love crying.
But no, a lot of people don't want to. A lot of people don't want to put the time and effort and money into doing that. So
until they waste their first drive shaft.
Yeah, and then so now we're playing the concession game of, well, you know, you're gonna have a vibration because your drive shaft's gonna vibrate, or you're gonna, you know, back in the old days, you just got the locking hubs and
You turn them off.
You turn them off, and nothing rotates. And
yeah,
until you're off road, and where it doesn't matter because you're going slow. But yeah, so that's another thing to think about. You know, you lift your Jeep, and it's never going to drive the way it drove before, unless you put the time and effort into fixing all of the geometry.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, there's not a kit out there that you can buy off the shelf that fixes all of the geometry and takes care of all the problems. There's just not. They're
yeah,
all they all do a good job.
That's a pretty fair statement.
Right? They all do a good job, and there's some that are better than others, but not. I don't think there's one out there that we've ever put on where everything came in the same box and it just solved all the problems. It just doesn't.
No.
So what did we answer? I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot of good info, but you got to pick it for yourself.
Yeah, everything is different. Every situation is different. Everybody's plan for their Jeep is different. But, you can always email us, and I'll write you back and tell you exactly what I think you should do.
Let's go part for part. Like, your hands-down best lift that you would put on.
Ooh.
Like, company
Ooh.
And...
Okay, so we have to say then, what best lift for what? Just getting a Jeep on 35s?
Just to get a Jeep on 35s.
Bang for your buck or best quality?
If you had to buy it right now, what would it be?
If I had a JK.
Could be a little bit of both. You could go, yeah, I didn't want to go full out. You know, I just wanted like a good medium average.
Hmm. Well, like you said earlier, the TerraFlex stuff seems to work every time. But if I didn't want to go with a bolt-on setup and I wanted something that was a mid-arm, I'd probably go Evo.
Yeah.
Because they're a lot of work, but they're really well thought out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I like where they put their control arms on the frame. And I gotta admit too, you know what? I gotta be honest. I don't have anything wrong with the Rubicon Express long arm kits. You get a Rubicon Express long arm kit, I don't have any problem with them.
I don't think I've ever seen one on a JK, but I know on the TJ, I'm super happy with mine. I'm sure the geometry is not perfect, but
that one we put on on Ken's JL was nice.
Dude, that one that's on Ken's JL is gorgeous.
Dude, that's yeah.
And
that's
we wheeled it. We wheeled it this weekend.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice. So I would say bang for your buck, long arm, Rubicon Express.
Yeah.
If you've got a little more money in your pocket and you want to throw some coilovers under there, then go Evo, because that'll give you your coilovers and your, I don't know, on the JKs, they're not really a long arm, are they? They're more like a mid arm. The Evo kit?
I don't know.
They're decently long. I mean, they're not as long as, like, your LJ kit, but I think your LJ kit's, like, one of the longer ones. And, like, you look at Ken's JL, and those arms are ginormous.
They're pretty big.
Long.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, this is the Rubicon Express one, but I don't think they're the same on the Evo
one. You're right.
No.
You're right.
But either way, those are probably my two picks just right out of the gate.
Yeah.
What do you think? If I had to pick.
God, I don't even know.
There's a lot to choose from. I think
so many to choose
from. It's really difficult. I think if I had to choose one, it'd probably be between TerraFlex or Rubicon Express. Like, if I was the average dude trying to do something in my garage, like TerraFlex for sure. I know, like, for the TJs, the Rubicon Express one requires, like, a lot of drilling holes in the frame, you know? So, like, that would deter me away from that. But that's also a long arm kit. Like, you want a good, you can bolt it on and off in your garage in the matter of, well, not in your garage, because then you could potentially not get it out. But, but you know what I mean? Like, if you had to do this in your driveway, I'd say TerraFlex is probably the way to go.
There's by far, I have the best instructions, too, as far as, you know, we've had some install kits that show up and the instructions are horrendous. So,
what if my car doesn't fit in the garage? I didn't even think about that. Fuck, I'm
you're screwed.
Lower it.
Because the other thing too is like that TerraFlex kit. You can get their—I forget what they categorize them as, like their Summit kit or their Alpine kit or whatever. But like their baseline kit, it comes with four upper control arms total, or four control arms total, two for the front, two for the rear, and that just corrects the pinion angles. But later on down the line, you go, you know what? These stock arms are just, they're not doing it for me. I want to ditch these. Then you upgrade to their full arm kit.
Yeah, and that goes back to you're not buying parts twice because exactly. The other arms work with the arms you already bought.
Exactly. So you can get a whole new set of arms.
Yeah.
You can
do it in stages. No, I think that's pretty good. I don't think you guys think of anything we missed. I'm sure we missed a bunch.
What about arm build? Because there's arms that just have bushings. There's arms that have Heims. Mm. There's arms that have Johnny joints.
You know what? I noticed a couple of kits or people who are piecing together their own kits. We were having issues with the sway bar, like when they would disconnect it or they would just flex out, you know, it would overextend and then allow it to kick back into reverse.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were having issues with that shit, you know, getting all locked up. So correcting your sway bar links, depending on your lift size, is always a good idea. Just, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
Try to flex it out somewhere so that you can see if it's going to flip back on itself.
Yeah, wiring for the differentials, you know, try to articulate your stuff through, sort of cycle it as much as you can so you can make sure that all your hoses, brake lines, and wires aren't pulling on.
That's a good point. All the diff breathers and.
Yeah.
Sometimes the e-brake cables in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they get a little funky.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you don't realize until you go off-road and you hear something go, just snap. And
Yeah, we're lucky. We have a ramp here that we can drive them up, or we have a forklift that we can grab and flex it, which makes it easy for us. But, yeah, I got to think about how we used to do it back in the day, and it was
– it's a pain in the ass.
You'll find a wall at a grocery store to try to climb up and see what it does.
Yeah, ask as many of your friends as possible to sit in the back of the truck to get it to slam out. You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, hopefully we covered it enough for you. And again, thanks, Tim, for the idea. Keep shooting us information on what you guys want to hear about, and we'll for sure talk about it. One thing we definitely have is an opinion.
No
shortage there.
No shortage of that. So I guess the next podcast, maybe we'll be able to give you an update on Jake driving his solid axle Explorer around. Let's see if he makes it up to Big Bear and what he does. And then hopefully we'll get my Jeep out there and we can see if it was all worth it or not.
Yeah.
And now we've got Jake with his diesel truck so he can tow us back when we break shit.
Yay. Exactly.
Exactly. Support.
Support. He's part of support team. Right on. All right. Well, talk to you guys later. We'll see you next time.
This has been the Bent Motorsports Podcast. Thanks for listening in. Be sure to give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Bent Motorsports. Stay updated on the latest happenings, future projects, videos, events here at the shop. Remember, guys, Bent Motorsports, bits in stock, we've got it.